Today's lesson has nothing to do with that. The love and joy, we had several lessons as we went through the book of Philippians, and actually on Wednesday night we're going to start talking through the book of Philippians. But this week, there's been a lesson all summer long I've been wanting to preach, and I just haven't found the occasion, and this week it finally struck me like a bolt of lightning, and said, I got to do this one. And so we're going to go back and look at an aspect of Philippian letter, and it deals with unity, standing strong together. Standing strong together. The concept is about unity, about being unified. In our passage, we're not going to look at the entirety of it, but I want you to take a look, especially at verse 27 here. In Philippians 1, verse 27, let your conversation or your lifestyle, the way you live, be as would be fitting for the gospel of Jesus. That whether I come and see you, and Paul's in prison, or if I'm absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one spirit, with one mind. The King James says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what I want to look at today, is striving together. And I'm going to start, if you have a different version, your version will read a little bit different. And when we think of striving, the first thing that comes to my mind is very negative. Striving, usually striving together is usually striving against one another. That's the way we think of it. That's the way I think of it. Maybe you don't, and that's okay. But if you do, if you're like me, you do. It's right. This is a positive thing. This is a positive encouragement of striving together. The tone of it is to have one mind, one spirit. It's the idea of wrestling together, a unified effort. In other words, in the sports, they used to outlaw it. I've got to ask the sports guy, the football people here now. You can welcome after answer after service. They outlawed it, made it illegal to do the flying V, right? Because people were getting hurt. But I was watching an NFL game the other day, and I swear they line up in a flying V form, and they literally, it's like, it's the idea of this is we're all together going forward. Not striving amongst ourselves, we're striving together, locked arm, Red Rover, right? Remember playing that game as a kid? Lock hands and arms, just don't let them through. We're holding strong together. And that's what this is. We're holding strong together with one mind and one spirit. And so this idea of struggling together or pulling together, I'm looking for different words to make it sound positive, because striving just is negative in my mind, right? And I'm going to have some more words, actually, I'm using in the lesson that I'm going to allow you to let me define them a certain way as we get into this. But this is the Greek part of it. It is in unison. And that's what's involved in it. The Spanish version, as I was doing translating for Maria this morning, unanimously fighting together. Not together, but together. Forward, united together. A united effort. Joining forces together. And then if you have an English version, striving side by side, so it's not against, it's together. And you see why I'm struggling to define this word strive together. It's just the terms that automatically in my mind, I think of a negative, but it's not meant that way. This is working together, in unison together, pulling together for the faith of the gospel. Not a tug of war, right? That's the opposite. That's the opposite of this concept here. And we see that in sports. It's so important in a sports team. And we are a team here as a church. We fellowship together and we work together. It's our desire to do that. And we do that well. And I'm not giving this as a lesson to deal with a problem like that, because we understand that, I believe. To establish the concepts and maybe solidify them, go even a little deeper. And I think that's where we're going to go with this. At least for me, it's deeper. It may be something very simple for you, but it's not for me. But it's not a tug of war. We're not fighting against each other. We're pulling together in the same direction, like that flying V. And in a sports team, it's so important. I've seen when we was younger and married, the team back home had a revolt on his team. Coach Nelson Catalina for Arkansas State University. I know it's a well-known team and a well-known coach. You know him well, right? Well, he had trouble on his team, and regardless of whys and wherefores, a lot of the team just quit on him. They checked out. They boycotted the team. And he literally had sign-ups, come up and walk on. And if you don't know me, I was tempted because that's the kind of person I am. I'd never made it, but that was the kind of person I was, right? But it's not a tug of war. And so we want to pull together. And a coach who can pull a team together does great things, right? They can do great things. I think later in the lesson, I don't know, I can't validate this, supposedly this African proverb. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. You can accomplish so much together. And that is just the truth. So it's the idea of we're fellowship one another. We're supporting one another. We're champion one another. Right? That's the goal. And to be unified in mind was what it was set up with. And so lessons we can learn from this. I took this from Ken Weliever. I don't know that I know his pronounced his last name. But the idea that we have interdependence on one another, mutual dependence, harmonious working of our physical body. This is what's brought out in 1 Corinthians 12. He brought that out in an article, and I don't remember if it's one I used there or not, but the idea is in 1 Corinthians 12 is we're all different. We all depend on each other because we can't operate and function if we don't have a foot and we don't have a hand, we don't have an eye, we don't have an arm. Each one of us individually are a member of an important part of our work here, just as our hands and feet and eyes are all part of our physical body and critical. So then also he makes this point, we are better together. And I say not better, we're godly, right? This is something God says we should do. And so we got to look for it, we got to find it and work for it. But we are not just better together, we're godly together, working together, sharing together, cooperating together. Those are some terms he used that I threw in there. And there you go. There's that African proverb I actually put on the slide. That's what we're to do. And that's what we're called to do. And we do it well here. We do it well. And it's a great, and it's an encouragement for me specifically. And I hope it is for you as well. Other lessons is the fact that there is a dependence. God did not intend on us to be alone. Not just man and woman to be alone individually. God did not intend on the Christian to be alone. Sometimes we can look at Elijah. Elijah thought he was alone, and God's like, Elijah, you're not alone. Nobody's alone in this world. He does not expect us to be alone in this world. We are to work together, and we can rely on one another and rely on one another's help. We need it. It's not just good. We need it. He did not intend us to go alone. We have the need for support, for teammates, for champions. As much as we like to be individualistic, we can't go it alone. We do need each other. All of us need someone and each other to succeed as God wants of us. I think of these particular two. You can pull out any number of them. You know them yourself. Michael Jordan. If he could not play, if it wasn't for Scottie Pippen being on that team, Rodman, of all people, he was still a critical component, as outlandish as he was. Michael Jordan could not do it by himself, right? I remember, I loved Emmitt Smith. I know we got Cowboys fans here, and even named their dog after Emmitt out here, right? But he would gift his offensive linemen, I think they were watching, like Robert White. He gave them gifts every year. Why? Because he knew what was important for his success. He could not do it by himself. And so he gifted them in their season in football. So we realize, and we see that in sports. This term that Paul used is a term that is associated with sports and athletics and those type of things. The idea of teamwork, of working together. We are dependent. And in the sports, we see that. And then there's resolving conflict. Now, and I'm going to use this word conflict out here. I want you to first realize I don't use this in a negative way. Conflict is as simple as making a choice. And I'm going to use the one about where we're going to go eat lunch today. Okay? It's not a bad choice. It's not supposed to be a hard choice. But we're going to use this as an example. What color do we paint the house? What flower do you put in the flower? Everything can be a conflict. And it's not that a conflict is negative. It's just there's a choice. There's a decision. There's a difference. There's a different desires, different objectives. Our life is full of different choices. The question is not that, it's how do we deal with those choices, right? The better we deal with these variances in our choices, you know, if we, we're going to have a short bit, and I know he's going to want to, Harry wants to install a green carpet in our church building. I just know that's exactly what it is. Is that a good choice? Is it a bad choice? Are we going to do that? Well, it's a choice. How do we deal with that? Now, that's, I don't think that's his thing. It may not be, it may be carpet, but it's not going to be green, I'm sure. So what do we do when we have a conflict? We have that. Well, reality is a lot of these, we do all of these. Okay, first of all, I'm gonna guess that there's five different categories. And again, I'm going to beg that you let me define these a certain way. To forget the words, but the words may not match precisely what the word does to you. But look at the results here, okay? So a lot of times we're just accommodating. You know what? I don't care if the carpet's green. How about it, Harry? We'll have green carpet. I'm good with green carpet.
My favorite.
His favorite. That's right, right? Back to our first lesson about positive speaking, right? And encouraging one another. I don't lose anything in that, right? I guarantee you, we're going to sit here a little while, and all of us can make a decision, most of, at least half of us, probably three-fourths, going to decide where we're going to eat lunch today, right? And one person may say, hey, I want to go so-and-so today. He's going to say, it sounds good to me. That's accommodating. That's noble. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? We do that. Another way is compromising. We might say, well, I want to go to Chili's. I say, well, you know, I don't care. Chili's are always a way to Chili's. Let's go to Pizza Ranch. Man, we get in right away. And then they'll say, well, I don't want Pizza Ranch because they don't, I always want a chicken salad. And I'm not going to get chicken. So we compromise. And in the end, you know, and there's a, no, but we may or may not get 100% of what we want, but we get part of what we want, and we're okay with that. Okay, again, we're not saying we leave disgruntled because we done one way or another. We're just saying we compromised. It's about standing together. It's like, okay, I can do that, and I can champion that. I say, well, I like blue, Harry. Let's go blue or brown, right? Well, we compromise. All right, and then there's collaboration, and actually. Looking at these are collaborating is the most challenging as far as the idea is that if everybody gets everything they want, in the real world, that's kind of hard to come up with that anyways, and sometimes you can convince people that they got everything they wanted, but that's collaboration, right? We all, there's another aspect of that there. We all get exactly what we want, and so we can do that as well. And so, but that's not the only three. There's two more that are a little more assertive in nature. Okay, these three involve a desire to reconcile. How about that, right? There is a desire to reconcile. In the next two, the reconciliation is not so important to us anymore. And here's one of them is competing. I'm not giving up. I want to go to Chili's. I don't care what you say. I'm going to Chili's, and I'm going to do whatever. And so that's a competing response. I'm not giving up, and I'm not yielding because that's what I want. And so there's the resolving conflict just got difficult, right? And so there's lots of, even through all of these, there's lots of ways to accommodate these. And sometimes this will provoke other responses that may be accommodating. So, okay, I'm not going to, it's not worth fighting over. It's not worth arguing. I'm just going to, you get it, you want it, have it, right? But this, in this case, it is a hard stance, as it were. And we realize and recognize we do this because we all recognize this is the gospel of Jesus. This is God's word. And there's not no changing what this says, is there? And so there comes a point in time where this is where we stand on this, and we can't change on that because we believe this to be true. And so we take a stand. And that's a competing terminology. In other words, this is what this is. But you see how that plays out in our lives in different aspects. And then the other one, and it really on this word, we'll be careful because this avoiding is not the idea of accommodating, which sounds similar, but the idea of avoiding is you just check out. In other words, well, if you're not going to go eat where I'm going to eat, then I'm just going to go back in the house and nobody gets anything. Right? That's the idea behind this. Nobody wins in this one. Nobody gets anything because we just, you know, the decision part of the, you know, they did this in Texas one time. It probably happens often in government. But they, you have to have a quorum, right? You don't have a quorum, then no decisions get made. And so there was an argument some years ago now, I believe it was, and a large portion of one party left and would not meet. They avoided the conflict. They just left. That's, now again, I'm using the word avoiding here, but the idea is it just makes it so nothing can happen. And so we see these are really, I would caution to be very, very reserved in utilizing these and recognize the ground that we're on, because there is no there's no resolving these, because there's the premise is that this is set in stone and I'm not changing. I don't care. Well, Paul and God wants us to stand strong together. And so this other page, we want to live here, and that's good. These are honorable. I've got to be careful. I'm not saying there's completely no application for these, but in a competing mode, there is, in that idea that there is a right. Jesus is God. And if you want to come in and teach Jesus is not God, there's, we got to talk about that, because that's something we can't give on. And so then you talk about how to deal with that. Stand strong together. In summary, he wants us to not be discouraged and not fear. That was the, one of the lines of thinking through that. In verse 28 through 30, don't be terrified by your adversaries, but notice what comes out on this. Do be encouraged. Do stand strong together. Do wrestle together. Their united steadfastness in verse 28 through 30 is a proof you are from God. Right? A proof of your adversary's failure. The idea is when they stood steadfast in the gospel, it showed they were of God, that they were not feared. They did not fear them. And it showed that in verse 28, but to them which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. And so the idea is that this shows that you are of God. So stand strong together with Paul, with Jesus, within ourselves. Stand strong together in trials, in weakness, and in strength. Stand strong together. And I'm reminded, especially in the latter part of there of the passages that we looked at today, the world will know you are disciples. How? If you're always fighting? No. If you love one another. If we're unified. If we stand strong together, it shows that we are disciples of God. Have you made that choice to follow God and to believe in Jesus? Now, believing in Jesus, believe His commands, that He was from God, that His instructions are true. We believe He will follow through on what He taught. And in doing that, He taught that make disciples of all mankind, baptizing them. Have you been baptized and made a disciple as Jesus taught? We show later that also brought about the forgiveness of sins. It's not just making a disciple of Jesus, not a sign of that. It also shows the forgiveness. If you've not been baptized, we want to give you that chance this morning to do that very thing. And if you have and you've struggled on the way, maybe there's something the church can help you with. We always want to know about that and would love to help you in any way we can, to pray for you or do anything we can to help you. So if you are subject to our gospel's call this morning, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?